The Bible says that one generation shall declare your works to another. One generation shall declare your works to another. The Bible says that David served the purpose of God in his generation. So we have a season. How many of you know that? We have a season that God assigns to us. And it has boundaries. Those boundaries are the day you were born and the day that you go home. And everything in between, you are called by God to serve His purpose in. To serve His purpose in. As long as there's breath in your body and there's strength in your frame, you are called to serve the purpose of God. You know, every pastor in their season is responsible for their season. And you build on what others have built. None of us live in isolation. Somebody invested in the reality that you and I can know Jesus Christ. Somebody sacrificed. Somebody gave. Somebody prayed and said, God, would you redeem my son? Would you redeem my daughter? Would you redeem my grandchildren? Would you redeem my friend? Would you redeem my coworker? And all of us are in the kingdom because somebody did that. And we, as we build, Paul says it this way, let each man be careful how he builds. Doug and Judy, you built in your season here and did an amazing job. David and Angela, now in your season, you're building and doing an amazing job. And every single one builds on what somebody else has laid. And it's all for the glory of God. All for the glory of God. Well, I want to just speak to you for a few minutes today. Why we do this. What 27 years ago, actually perhaps a little longer than that, when the Bible studies were started, and then officially, I think 27 years ago or so, became a church. 1991, formally became a church. But how many of you know this? There might have been somebody at that time that said, I feel like God wants that to be a church. But how many of you know churches are not born by the will of men? They're born by the will of God. Churches, I remember when we first planted the church that we're back at now, which has become the mother church of a number of churches that we've planted. When we returned there, it was 9+ years ago. We've watched since then a number of churches. I'm talking about one church. We've watched churches planted out. But God, listen, God has a plan. God has a purpose. I remember when we had first planted that church, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to my wife and just was reminding her that that church wasn't started by us. It was started by the Lord. The churches began in the heart of God. We were like obstetricians just alongside to help bring the baby into reality, but we didn't give birth to it, okay? The Lord gave birth to the church. God gave birth to this church. And God had a plan and a purpose when He first established this church. When He first put it in the heart of somebody to form a church and to begin to gather. And God looked ahead in time and He saw this day. How many of you know that? That God had a plan even when this church, before this church was, that this church would be. And He knew you would be a part of it. God has a plan. So why do we do this? We today are celebrating 27 years of being together on mission for God, past, present, future. That means that there's a whole destiny yet ahead of us, and we don't know all that God has in store. But we know this, so when we understand the ultimate purpose and vision that God has, then we can cooperate with Him, all right? You know, we cooperate with the Lord. So what is it? What is it that God had in mind? Let me just share. I'm going to share with you some thoughts, but as a introduction of that, I want to share with you this thought that you and I are fundamentally here to extend the borders of the kingdom of God. When the angel of the Lord spoke, and even when Jesus was born. And even before, all the way back to the prophet Isaiah, as he prophesied the coming of the Messiah. It was this, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government, there shall be no end. You and I are here to extend the borders of the kingdom of God. How do we do that? And I love this. There was a theologian and a statesman from the Netherlands, a Dutch theologian and statesman named Abraham Kuyper. And he made this statement, and he said this, and I love what you were saying this morning, David, about there's not one square inch of this land out here that's not dedicated to the glory of the Lord. Abraham Kuyper said it this way, there's not one square inch in the whole domain of our human existence over which Christ the Sovereign Lord does not cry out, mine. That means this. The Bible says this, that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein. And God, listen, yes, the Lord has laid claim to this piece of ground out here, this piece of real estate. But how many of you know this? The Lord's laid claim to a whole lot more than just this piece of real estate. The Lord's laid claim to this region around here. The Lord's laid claim to all the Central Florida area. That's why we have a vision to plant 100 churches up and down the I-4 corridor and to extend the borders of the kingdom of God. You see, God has laid claim to every square inch of real estate, but more than that, God has laid claim to every human heart in every place all over this region. The Lord is like, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein. That means this, we all belong to the Lord. And the only question is not whether or not we ultimately will serve His purpose. The Bible says this, that every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess to Jesus Christ is Lord. The only question is not whether we will bow or whether we will worship. It is whether we will do it willingly. That is the only question. And I want to tell you today that I believe that the Lord has found a people in this place called Catalyst Church that are more than willing to be worshipers of the Lord our God. We do so gladly, cheerfully. Hallelujah. So I want to give you three principles this morning in how we extend the kingdom of God. How we extend the borders of the kingdom of God. The first thing is this. God is most interested in worship. Do you know something? We all are worshipers. You were made to be a worshiper. The only question is, what are you going to worship? I promise you, you're worshiping something today. You're worshiping something today. Are you worshiping the Lord? Are you worshiping the only one that is truly worthy to be worshiped? In Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 28, Jesus speaks this, and he says, then Jesus came to his disciples. He said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. God is ultimately after worship. He's ultimately after worship. This is why churches are planted. This is why we proclaim the gospel. It's not just because people are lost. We'll talk about that in a minute. Listen, I think that there's something that we've got to come back to that's central above all. If we're not careful, our gospel can become a very humanistic gospel. I'm talking about where it's all about people. All about me. All about what God will do for me. How many of you know this? That God didn't come to serve us, but God came to redeem us so that we could serve Him. We got to get that right. We got to get that right. And the first and the most important thing for every single one of us to understand is that when we extend the borders of the kingdom of God, it is about extending worship where worship has not yet manifest itself. When we establish churches, what are we doing? We're building platforms of worship in particular regions so that the sound of heaven can be brought to earth. What are we doing when we sing these songs and we make these declarations that the Lord our God is good? He is wonderful. He is filled with glory. He is to be honored. He is to be praised. He is to be... What are we doing? We are echoing throughout the whole universe the sound of heaven. We are extending the borders of the kingdom of God. I remember when we first got involved in China. A number of years ago, we went into places where literally there was no church. There was no gospel proclamation. There was nobody that was even a believer. It was all unreached people groups. And we went in among a group called the Dong people, and we began to, you know what our first thing was? We began to walk and sing songs and worship God. We literally walked the full length of this particular region, Dong Autonomous Region in China, and began to praise God and exalt the Lord. Let me tell you something. There is something that begins to shake in the heavenlies when the people of God begin to join with the angels before the throne of God and worship the Lord and say, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. You above all are to be exalted. Holy are you, Lord." Can you lift your voice this morning and give him praise? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The psalmist David said this in Psalm 8:1, "O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens." Let me tell you something. When the people of God begin to worship God, something begins to happen in the heavenlies. Something begins to shake. The forces of darkness begin to run and quake in fear because we are exalting the King above all kings. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. Anybody here raised Presbyterian? No Presbyterians this morning. We need to get some Presbyterians. But if you were raised Presbyterian, for the time you were a child, you would have heard of the Westminster Catechism. The Westminster Catechism, you would catechize children and they would be taught from the early age certain biblical principles. And the first thing that the Westminster Catechism says is, it asks a question as it does in all catechisms. It says, what is the chief end of man? What is the chief end of man? And then it answers that amazing question with this statement. The chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. You want to understand why you were born into this world? You were born into this world that you might glorify your Creator, that you might live a life well-pleasing to Him, that songs of praise and adoration could flow from your mouth, and that you could use your tongue to exalt the King above all kings. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 15, verses 3 and 4, it says, "Great and marvelous are your deeds, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, King of the ages. Who will not fear you, O Lord, and bring glory to your name? For you alone are holy. All nations," and that word nations is ethnos or people groups, "will come and worship before you for your righteous acts have been revealed." What an amazing thought. We extend the borders of the kingdom of God. You see, this morning, when we gather and we begin to worship God, we're not just singing songs so that we can encourage ourselves in the Lord. Oh yeah, that happens. We're not just singing songs because we need some time to fill up on the front end of a service. We're not just singing some songs so that we can get warmed up for the preaching. We're singing songs because we're declaring how good our God is, how great He is, how wonderful He is. We are filling the atmosphere with the sound of praise and of worship, exalting the King. And in doing so, something is trembling and shaking in the heavenlies. And there's an extension and an expansion going on. And there is, the darkness is being rolled back and the glorious light of God is shining forth. Hallelujah. That's why the psalmist in Psalm 96:3 makes this statement. He says, "Declare His glory among the nations." Declare His glory among the nations. His marvelous deeds among all people. Let me tell you something. When you're at work, going about your routine, you don't even have to sing songs, but your life can become a praise to the Lord. You know, you become the best worker there. And people will soon ask you, what's the difference in your life? You're different from everyone. What's going on in your life? What are you doing? You're worshiping the Lord. When you're living your life before people and they're seeing, the Bible says, your good works. They're seeing the way that you care for people, the way that you serve other people. What are you doing? You're letting your light show so shine before men that they may see your good works, Jesus said, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Your life has become a praise and an act of worship unto the Lord. We extend and expand the borders of the kingdom of God through our worship, through our continual praise. When you're driving your car down these streets, you know, in those moments where the Holy Spirit just kind of rolls into your vehicle, and if you know what I'm talking about, where suddenly you see your tears are streaming down your cheeks and you can't help yourself. You got to pull off the side of the road and just spend a few minutes giving praise to the Lord. What are you doing? You're extending the borders of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. I mentioned China. When we were in China and we walked the full length of that Dong Autonomous Region, that unreached people group, the best we could research, there was no more than 3 believers when we first got involved with that group. And we didn't go in preaching and proclaiming much. We went in praising and worshiping a lot. And in doing so, we just began to declare that every place we were putting our foot belonged to the Lord. That every person we were coming in contact with belonged to the Lord. And it wasn't very long before we begin to see the Spirit of God blow on that region. Literally, now we have several thousand believers among that unreached people group and multiple churches up and down. And if you could trace it back, it went right back to the time where a group of 7 people just begin to praise God and do a prayer walk and begin to proclaim the name of the Lord in a region. Listen to me. Are you walking around your neighborhood and laying claim to your neighbors for the glory of God? Are you walking around the streets of this region and everywhere you go, you're saying, Lord, every place I put my foot, I'm laying claim to for your glory. Every person I come in contact with, I'm laying claim for you, for your glory, for your honor. Hallelujah. Come on, give the Lord praise. Oh, exalt Him. Exalt Him. We worship you, Lord. We bless you. You see, when you worship the Lord, you're joining in an eternal activity. We talk a lot about missions and evangelism. And missions and evangelism is good and important. And I'll talk a little bit about that in a minute, but I'll tell you what, it's not eternal. It's not eternal. Worship is eternal. Worship is eternal. But evangelism is not. Okay? I love what John Piper says, great pastor of a Bethlehem Baptist Church for 30-some years. And he said this, missions and evangelism is a temporary necessity. It only exists because worship doesn't. Worship is eternal. And it's right. Why do we evangelize? It's because somebody's not worshiping. It's because somebody's not worshiping. Our ultimate purpose is that we would be worshipers. You were made to be a worshiper. You were created by God to worship. The second thing I want you to see is this. We extend the borders of the kingdom of God, not only through worship, but we extend the borders of the kingdom of God through discipleship. Through discipleship. Jesus deserves disciples. He deserves disciples. Jesus makes this statement. If you love me, you'll keep my what? Commandments. You'll keep my commandments. Now I'm not talking about a legalistic form of following Jesus. Listen, I was raised in a legalistic church. I was raised in a church that it had more rules than, I don't even know where they came up with all the rules they had. They had rules that I never found in here. Anybody ever been to that church? You know what I'm talking about. But Jesus does have commands. I'm not going to preach on this subject, other than just to mention it, but there are 153 commandments that Jesus had. Now listen, His commands are not like the Old Testament commands. The Old Testament commands were burdensome. They were hard to carry out. But Jesus says this about His commandments: My commandments are not burdensome. How many of you know this, that if you're a good mama or a good daddy, you have some commands at your house? Like, don't go out in the street. Why do you tell your kids not to go out in the street? Why do you spank them when they disobey you and go out in the street? You know why? Because you love your kids. And you don't want them to be a hood ornament. You don't want them to be out there playing in the road and some car come along and run them over. How many of you know this? Your commandments are not burdensome. Your commandments are to help them come into their destiny. Your commandments are to help them fulfill the ultimate purpose that God has for their life. I want to tell you something. The commandments of Jesus are not some weighty, burdensome thing, but they're to help you and help me come into our full purpose. God and God alone knows what we were made to be. And God and God alone knows how to get us from where we are to where we need to be so that we can live our life for His glory and His honor. You see, that's what discipleship is. Discipleship is not some rule keeping, some rigid rule keeping. Discipleship is I'm getting set free by the power of the Holy Spirit to be everything God intended so that I can live my life to the full for His glory. Jesus said this, the thief comes not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. But He said, I didn't come for that. I came that you might have life and that you might have it to the full. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody, give the Lord praise. So when the Lord says, I want you to do this and I don't want you to do this, it's not to restrict you or to keep you from something. It's to help you come into the good thing, the abundant life that Jesus Christ has bought and paid for you for. Hallelujah. It's a life of liberty and freedom. Jesus desires, and He certainly deserves, disciples. That's why in Matthew 24:14, in this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. You see, what is the gospel of the kingdom? It's the gospel that proclaims that the King has come and has now taken residence on the throne of my heart. You see, we extend the borders of the kingdom of God when we declare our worship, but we also extend the borders of the kingdom of God when we live a life that honors the Lord. When Jesus is ruling from the throne of our heart and He's declaring what we need to be doing. And if you know what I'm talking about this morning. You see, when Jesus lives within us and by the power of His Spirit, He governs our life. What we're doing is we're letting the kingdom of God come into our heart. You see, the kingdom of God is the rule of God. When Jesus says this to His disciples, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given. How is His authority on earth being carried out? When a human heart opens up and submits to Him. When we yield to Him. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached. In Acts 1:8 it says this, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. What happens is this. The kingdom of God comes into our heart when we receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And when we're seeking to live out and honor Him with our life, now literally there's a little piece of ground, that ground that you occupy, where the kingdom of God is manifesting. And then we become ambassadors of that kingdom. We become ambassadors. That means that you are a heavenly extension of the government and the rule of God. You're an extension of the kingdom of God. And then lastly, we do this because God deserves worship. We do this because Jesus desires disciples, but we do this because people need a Savior. People need a Savior. I want to tell you something. You don't have to go very far from where we're sitting this morning to find somebody that needs a Savior. That needs a Savior. Florida right now, listen to this statistic, has 21.13 million residents and is growing at more than 17.5% a year. That's more than 1,000 people a day moving in to Florida. When I begin to think about this, you know, God has called us to plant churches, and we want to plant a lot of churches just like Catalyst Church. We want to plant a lot of expressions. Why do we do that? Listen to me. I mean, how many of you think if a church of 300 would be a pretty good sized church, wouldn't it? Do you know what? If we planted three churches of 300 every day, we would only keep pace with the growth that's moving into the state. When I stop and think that only about 1/3 of the people of this state are connected to any kind of church whatsoever. Not to mention life-giving churches. You know how many churches there are in this city. Well, I wonder how many of those churches, what percentage of them are life-giving? Okay? I wonder how many churches proclaim the gospel that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation. There's a lot of them that call themselves churches that aren't proclaiming that. I'll tell you that. Okay? We're not into political correctness. We're into declaring the word of the Lord. Okay? All right? That's where we're going to live. But listen to me. We have a mission. We can't slow down. We got to pick up pace. We've got so much that yet needs to be done. When I think about all of that that's going on all around us, and I think about the lostness of people. Listen to me. How long has it been since you shed tears over the lostness of your neighbors? When you begin to consider that the people you work with every day, that many of those people are not on their way to heaven today. That many of those people don't know Jesus Christ. That many of those people may live their entire life and never one time hear a relevant presentation of the gospel. I want to tell you something. I'm no longer satisfied with just being idle. I'm no longer satisfied with just simply going to church Sunday after Sunday and being blessed myself and going home and living my life. I'm no longer satisfied with that. I've got to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. I've got to share the great love of God with somebody who is yet to hear the great love of God. You see, that's why the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, for Christ's love compels us, moves us, it motivates us. Why? Because we're convinced that one died for all and therefore all died. You see, we extend the borders of the kingdom of God when we worship God. We extend the borders of the kingdom of God when we live a life of discipleship to Jesus and honor Him with our lifestyle. But listen, we also extend the borders of the kingdom of God when we allow the love of God to be shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit and we begin to tell people who don't know about Jesus to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We tell them about the wonderful love and plan of God. That's why Paul says we are therefore Christ ambassadors as though God were making His appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. You see, God saved us, redeemed us, changed our life. Filled us with the Holy Spirit and made us to be His kingdom ambassadors to extend the rule of His government in this region. Hallelujah. How many of you know this? That the only hope for the world, the only hope for the world is a fully mobilized life-giving church. And is a people who understand the mission that Christ has called us all to. Listen, just going to church is not good enough. We got to be the church. Just coming and celebrating on a Sunday morning isn't good enough. But it's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're the church. We're on mission for the glory of God. Hallelujah. It's every time we come in contact with somebody who doesn't know Christ. We're the church. We're on mission for the glory of Christ. I told my wife this week, I've made up my mind a number of months ago that every day I go about my routine. When I go to places, I'm already praying, God, I thank you that you've set up divine appointments. When I go into Home Depot and I need to do some shopping, I walk through the door like I own the place. You know why? Because my Jesus is the King of all the earth. And I walk in and I begin to say to people, how are you today? What's your name? How's things going in your life? I make up my mind. I'm going to strike up a conversation. Listen, if Jesus don't open a door for me, I'm going to open the door for Him. Hallelujah. All right, come on. How many of you say, somebody say amen. Why? Because I've already been told, go, go, go. That means I need a word to stop. You don't need a word to go. You've already got a word to go. You need a word to stop. So you make up your mind. You're going. You're going on mission for God. You're going for the glory of God. You preach. You proclaim the gospel. You proclaim the good news. You know, that doesn't mean that you got to buttonhole every person and, you know, you got to take them all the way down and pray with them for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Right there. No. But how many of you know this? You can put a smile on your face and you can have joy in your heart and you can be a different kind of person. I'll tell you what, they come across miserable people all day long and you come walking through, you become a breath of fresh air. Hallelujah. You're something different about us. Why? The King of glory lives within us. Hallelujah. I'm striking up conversations on aisle 13. I'm striking up conversations as I walk through the door. I'm striking up conversations when I'm paying on my way out. I'm striking up conversations in the parking lot as I help people put their stuff in their car. I'm striking up conversations everywhere. Why? Because I'm on mission for God. Hallelujah. I'm on mission for God. I'm an ambassador. I'm an ambassador. You're an ambassador. You walk in those places like you own them. You begin to take charge in your neighborhood for the glory of God. If you've got a homeowners association, you be a part of it. You rise to the level where you become the person that gathers the people. You give every person around you an opportunity to hear a relevant presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You be a shining light in a dark region for the glory of God and watch what God does. Here's what Paul said in Romans 10:13. Listen to this with me. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I love that verse. Look at verse 13 again. Everyone. Let me tell you something. You know what that says to me? That everybody I come in contact with is included in that. Everyone. That means when you go to the restaurant at lunch today, everybody you bump into is included in the everyone. Everyone is included. Nobody, listen to me, nobody's too far gone. Nobody is too lost. The Bible says this in Isaiah 59:1. His arm is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear. That means when you go out into the streets, there's no one that you can see, nobody that you come across that Jesus can't reach. Go down to the jails and prisons, everyone in there, everyone includes all of them. It doesn't matter what they've done. It doesn't matter how rotten their life has been. They're included in the everyone. You go in to the drug dens and crack houses of this city, everyone that's in there is included in that presentation. Everybody. Everyone, there's nobody that's left out. The Bible says this, God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. All should come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. The rich, the poor, the educated, the uneducated. No one is too lost. No one is too bound. No one is too twisted. No one is too far gone that Jesus can't save them and change them and transform them and make them a testimony of His great love and mercy. Somebody give the Lord a shout of praise. Hallelujah. 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 We honor you, Lord. We honor you, Lord. So in response to this, how should I live my life? How should I live my life? Obviously, if Jesus is desirous of the whole of my heart and the whole of my life, I live my life by committing my heart 100% to Him. 100%. You have my heart, Lord. You have my passions, Lord. You have everything. I want to live for your honor. I want to live for your glory. If Jesus doesn't have all your heart, it'll be impossible for Him to have all your life. Let me tell you something. We sometimes focus on the outside of people giving God their life. But let me tell you something. It all begins. You give God your life because you gave God your heart. When you give God your heart, He changes your want to. He makes you want to do everything else. Listen, it ain't hard to get people to work when they've given Him His heart, their heart. They want to work. They want to labor. We commit our hearts first. And from the committing of our hearts, everything else comes. That means we commit not only our heart, but from that we commit our energies. What I do with my life. How I live and conduct myself. The people I talk to. The purpose that I seek to live my life with every single day. I become an extension. You see, the reason I can become an extension of the kingdom of God out there is because the kingdom of God has already come in here. It's taken over everything. It's taken over my appetites. It's taken over my desires. It's taken over my motivations. The King is ruling on the throne of my own heart, and He begins to manifest His rulership out of my life like a shining beacon to all those that see. Hallelujah. I remember a number of years ago, my brother and I, before we were in, I was in ministry, I was a building contractor. And we worked in construction, and we were constantly having to work. There was a season before when we were leading, just coming up into contracting work, that I worked at a builder supply. My brother and I did. And so we were delivering materials, and the guy that worked on our truck was an atheist. He was an atheist. He absolutely did not believe in the Lord. He would curse, and he was ugly and horrible, and he was the third person on our truck. And so my brother and I loved the Lord, and we had an atheist. And so we made up our mind. It's two against one. So we told him, since he didn't have anybody to talk to, we put him in the middle. And it'd either be me or my brother that would drive. And we would be talking about the Lord and the things of the Lord everywhere we'd go, and he's having to sit in the middle and listen to it. I'm telling you what, you talk about frustrating that guy. I mean, he just couldn't hardly stand it. But we loved him. We loved him enough that we weren't going to be quiet about what Jesus had done for our life. And I remember after we had left there, maybe a year or so after we had left that job, I was sitting one Sunday evening in Calvary Assembly in Ormond Beach. And I looked, and coming through the door was this guy. I said, I know that guy. That's Steve. That's the guy that was the atheist that was on our truck. And he's coming through the door, and this is the honest truth. He had a Bible. You know what a family Bible looks like. He had a family Bible under his arm. He had something that you almost needed a wagon to bring with you. He had this big family Bible, and he comes through the door. I made a beeline to him. I said, Steve, I want to ask you something. What's happened to you? What's happened to you? He began to cry. He said, I'm going to tell you something. All those times that you and your brother would talk in that truck. And he said, and I was so ugly and rude to you. Something was still sinking in. He said, y'all would talk about what Jesus had done in y'all's life. And he said, I remember it wasn't long after y'all had left that job and y'all began to build houses that I got into problems in my marriage. And he said, when my marriage fell apart, my family was split up. He said, I was all by myself, and I remembered those things that you and your brother used to talk about in the truck, and it came back, and I asked Jesus to come into my life, and He's changed my life and saved me. I'm going to tell you what, the last time I saw him, he was an elder in a local church down in Port Orange. I'm going to tell you something. Jesus redeems people. He redeems people. Is he taking over your hearts? If he takes over your hearts, he takes over your energy. And then lastly, if he takes over your hearts and your energy, he takes over your resources. We're going to be receiving an offering in just a little bit. Because we're going to be seeking to extend the footprint of this building. We say, build another building to address the needs of this growing church. Let me tell you something. It's not just so that you can have a nice place, a comfortable place on a Sunday morning. It's so that there could be another expansion of the altar of worship in this place. It's so that more people can become disciples of Jesus Christ. It's so more people can be reached with the glorious, life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the reason why we do this. This is not just a nice idea. It's not just so that we can extend our comfort. It's so that we can become an extension of the kingdom of God in this region. Would you stand to your feet and give the Lord a glorious ovation of praise this morning and of worship? Father, we love you today. We worship you and exalt you. And we pray, Lord, now that by the power of the Holy Spirit, that Catalyst Church might become a mighty extension of your kingdom. All for your glory and all for your honor, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Hallelujah. Come on, let's shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to the honor of your name, Lord. Hallelujah, Father. You may be seated for a moment. Hallelujah. I'm going to have two ushers come up for right now. Hallelujah. Pastor Ron and I did not talk about the topic so much of his message and the details of his message. We did talk about sharing vision, which he did very clearly today. A couple of weeks ago, I began a series on true worship. That true worshipers bring heaven down to earth. How many of you know? We talked about that. There's a CD's in the back. And then last week, I talked about the Church of Jesus Christ is the hope of the world. And why we need to be a radiant church. God is confirming things. On the way over here, Pastor Angela and I were talking about, you know, we were praying over these communities around. We said, we need to start prayer walking our communities. On just today, on the way over here, we were talking about that. Somebody say amen. Amen. In a moment, we're going to pray about this offering. And some of you are new to the church, and you may not understand what we've been doing since 2016. And since 2016, October, we had our 25th anniversary. How many of you were there at the Osceola Performing Arts Center? We were there for the 25th anniversary. A lot of you took a pledge card and decided you were going to give something by faith. It's not a bill. Nobody gets an invoice. The bill collector will not come to your door. It's a faith pledge. Everybody say a faith pledge. And what you're saying is, as God blesses, as God provides, by faith, I want to be a part of building the house of God at Catalyst Community Church. I want to advance the kingdom of God. I want to make space for more chairs. And we did this thing with a little chair. You saw me last week walking around with a little chair. I think I scared the poor woman who was standing seated on the front row. Because there's some people who pledge to give $50 a month or whatever they could give a month for that chair. Did she come back? All right. Because I was showing this lady, you know, Pastor Dave gets a little crazy after a while, so I said, this chair is a representation of 1/300th of what it costs to put up this building. We were trying to raise $600,000. So this chair is a symbol of $2,000. And we will have, God willing, we will have 300 plus seats in the new building. So we'll be easily more than doubling our size. And this building, just so you know, you might say, well, why can't we just stay in this building, have another service? This building is costing a fortune to run. We have had all the stucco replaced on the outside. We've had multiple repairs done to the roof. Every time I mention the roof, people start twitching. They're like, the roof, the roof, the roof, you know? We have so many problems. When you talk to the roof about some of the old, with some of the old timers, they get hives, you know? And then we replaced three or four of the air conditioners. We've spent well over $50,000 on repairs. It's time we put that money into something where we'll have some equity. Somebody say amen. So, if you have not been a part of the pledging, what you're saying with this pledge card, the ushers have them, is that I'm going to give X amount of dollars per month as the Lord enables me to the glory of God to advance this building program, to advance Catalyst Community Church in this neighborhood. So, if you need a pledge card before we receive our offering, would you just raise your hand? The ushers are going to walk by. If you need one, if you haven't had one before, just lift your hand real quick. And just walk right down, Errol, in the back there. Yes, anybody else who doesn't have one, needs one? All right. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Pastor Angela, would you join me? Pastor Rod, I have to just say, brother, you were so anointed this morning. God bless you so much. You know, I tease my wife when she preaches. I think she'll be preaching next week, actually, right? And I say, you know, honey, you really came out of your shell. I'm so happy. Brother, you know, you really came out of your shell this morning, brother. You know, I mean, I'm so glad you're not shy anymore. Amen. How many of you were blessed by Pastor Ron today? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right. Ushers, would you all come up now? And if you would take your 2020 envelope, and we're going to put the entire offering, tithes and 2020, towards the building program. We talked to the council about this, and our council members, we have a couple here today. Allison is here. Jason, I think, is back with the kids. Joel is not here. He's preaching. Where is Joel? In Pennsylvania. He's preaching in Pennsylvania. And Donna is at a memorial service up in New York. But our council members are in agreement with this day being set aside as 2020 Sunday. And that everything we give right now be for the glory of God. Pastor Angela, would you pray for the offering?
Thank you, Lord. We set aside this offering for your honor and glory. It is holy unto you, Lord. Lord, we ask you, Lord, what has come is that this will not just be a building, but it will be a center. It will be a hub. That from this place, God, there'll be training and people coming and going, Lord God, and the work of the kingdom of God being extended. We have no doubt about that, God. So we ask you for the superstructure, Lord, because the foundation is you. But we ask you for the structure, Lord, that is going to be built. Lord, I pray that you would do a quick work. We discern we're living in critical times, God. And Lord, I pray that what would have taken longer, oh God, would be done by 2020, would be well on its way. Lord, we pray that very shortly that shovel will grow in the ground, the banner will go up, and to the glory of God, the house that you want, Lord, we lay all our plans before you. But we know you're building something. You are the master architect, God. And we're just following your plans and your blueprint. Bless this offering and bless the people, God. Because ultimately that building is not the church. The church is the people. And they are extending the kingdom of God in their workplace, in their schools, in the shopping malls, and wherever they go, Lord. The kingdom of God goes with them. Bless your people, Lord. And make them a blessing. And bless this offering to the honor and glory of the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. God bless you as you give.
Amen. Amen. We're going to invite the worship team to come back, and they're going to do a finale song. And how many of you appreciate our worship team today? Wasn't it sweet? Sweet. So once you've given your offering, I'd ask you to please stand as we sing our last song. And I hope that you are sufficiently motivated and moved by God to live your life all out for God. What would happen? Just think with me for a second. Imagine what would happen in this world if every Christian decided to live 100% for God. Can you imagine the joyous earthquake? There would be a happy earthquake that would happen. that communities would be changed. Atmosphere would be changed. Darkness will be pushed back. And the light of God and the love of God would shine through us. Let it be so. Say it with me. Let it be so, Lord. And let me be a part of it, Lord. As long as I have breath within me, Lord, help me to serve you all the days of my life. And God's people said, amen. Amen. God bless you as you give. And worship team, as you sing.
We are a chosen generation. We've been called forth to show His excellence. All I require for life, God has given me, and I know who I am.
Come on, sing it with us.
We are a chosen generation.